Bitcoin Fools. Welcome to another episode. I am one of your hosts, Kyle Stuck, and I'm joined by my co-host, Noah.
How's it going?
Noah, it is going so good. We have an interview, and I just love being here, and I'm excited, so let's get to it. Becky, we talked about this beforehand, but I don't want to try to say your last name because I'm afraid and I'm a weak man. Will you please properly introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes. So my name is Rebecca, but you can call me Becky. Obst, O-B-S-T. Like I always introduce myself in America because no one can pronounce my last name. It's German. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means fruit. That's Becky. All I got to say about that.
That's all. That's it. So don't ask her anything else because that's it, guys.
Do you ever introduce yourself as Rebecca Fruit to make it easier?
I feel like that'd be very cocky. Yeah. That could be like my artist's name, but I already decided against that, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, if you need like a pen artist name, if you want to do some other work,
that's right.
And no one will figure it out. Yeah. Right. This isn't related at all. Well, thank you for saying that. I was just too afraid. But we were talking about this earlier. It's fun. We all have last names that are kind of hard to pronounce. And furthering that, we've all grown up overseas. And so there's just a lot of bonding happening right now. I feel very close to all of you. And I think after this, we should get an apartment together.
All right. Let's do it.
Will Julia mind?
No.
Okay.
She gets the dog, so.
What about Smokey? Do we get Smokey?
We probably get Smokey.
Okay, I have a munchkin cat. I can contribute.
Man, we're doing great.
Our cats will hang out then.
Munchkin cat, male or female?
Male.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to figure out a breeding situation because Smokey is also male.
Well, he's gay. Smokey's gay.
Yeah, but that can't change his biology.
Well, no, but they can adopt.
My cat's named Morty after Morty from Rick and Morty, the show.
Oh, nice.
So I have a feeling that he may be gay too. So could be a problem.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Does he have the mad scientist kind of mane or?
That's Rick.
That's Rick.
Oh, sorry.
Kyle.
Oh, man.
They do get voiced by the same actor, though, so I can see the confusion there.
No, don't try to make me feel better. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. So going back to that first thing that has pulled us all together. Let's start off with Germany a little bit, just to get to know you. I know you and Noah were talking a little bit beforehand. I'm very angry. I'm hurt, but Noah and I will talk about it later. I'll discipline him. It's fine. Tell us everything. Were you born there and how long were you there? And just give me all the deets.
All the deets. So I was born there. My mom's American. My dad is German. So she came over, in the 70s, late 70s.
Okay.
And met my dad. And I think it was at a party, but then they got married. So just how it goes.
Yep.
pretty standard. Yeah.
Pretty standard. She used to speak to me in English when I was little. I have a twin sister. And we would always respond in German.
Mm.
So like I was never fluent when I was younger, but we had English classes. You start learning English really early because no one in the world speaks German. It's just Germans that speak German. Mm. Basically. So I knew English, like I was good at like English in class, but it wasn't fluent. And then around 9th grade, I was like, or 10th grade, I was like, I can't keep living in this tiny town, like 60,000 people in the center of Germany. I need to get out of here. And looked at all these exchange programs and they're so expensive. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, it's not very viable. But then I realized, wait, I have the citizenship. Because my mom's American. Yeah. I could just live over there if I want to. So we hit up some old friends of my mom's, and they just lived in Arkansas just by chance. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to go to Arkansas. And I was really lucky because I didn't know this place existed, especially just northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
And it's really, I always say this, it's like a hidden gem. It's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the people are really nice and welcoming. So I went to high school here at FHS for a year or 11 months. And that's when I became fluent and like made friends and always wanted to come back and came back to visit while I finished my high school after I came back. And yeah, then I finished high school and just moved on, did a few internships, worked at a television broadcasting network in Frankfurt for a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I decided, wait, this is not my thing. I got to figure out what I want. And I've been doing art all my life. So that's all I knew that I wanted to do. And that was like my guide in a way. And I just needed to get out. And that's when I moved back here and just pursued that.
Dang.
Nice.
So what originally drew you to like broadcasting? Because, I mean, you're saying art was always a part of your life. So what drew you in that area?
Yeah, I think it always started out with drawing. I can't remember the first time I drew, but it's just been with me.
Mm-hmm.
And my twin sister and I started messing around on Photoshop and YouTube and iMovie, all those things when we were young teenagers, and just did all, like, bought our own little green cardboard to do chroma key effects and stuff like that. So I think that's when I realized that I wanted to do either something with film or photography. And I got really into like photography and portraits and stuff, and pursued that up to the point where I worked at this television network, and we did mostly documentary style things. And I realized that's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a apprenticeship in a way. It was half work, half school.
Okay.
And the way I think it's most convenient, you learn your tools. You don't necessarily have to go to college for this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know your tools and you know what to do with them, then you can go with it somewhere. Yeah. And that was my plan. I was just like, I'm just going to get through this apprenticeship and then do my own thing. But I wanted to do something that's more art related, like film. And that wasn't the case. Yeah. So that's when I stopped.
Okay. Well, and how fun for you to end up in Arkansas, because you're 100% right. Like, I remember when my family moved here for 1 year, I must have been aware of Arkansas just because of geography, like class, United States, all right. That stuff.
See, I wasn't really.
I mean, that's valid. I don't know. But I was not excited about going. It's like Arkansas, But you're right. This area is very beautiful and the people are super kind. And so it is, I think, a hidden gem is a great descriptor. Mm-hmm. So, and obviously it brought you back. It was appealing enough. So
I remember I was on my flight. I was so nervous. I thought about this exchange year like months or like half a year before I left. I've thought about it so much, like practice the way I would introduce myself to class, like everything you see in school. And yep. I had only seen like High School Musical.
That's a good frame of reference.
How do I know when to break out into song?
Yes, and Glee. Those were like my two references. And I loved them. So I was like, I was super excited. And it turns out it's way more than Glee than I expected it to be. I was like, this is like just TV. It's not actually real life. But I got here and, well, I was on the plane and I was thinking, oh, Arkansas is, I guess, a southern state. It must be a desert.
I'm right there with you. That's how my mind would have worked.
No, and I landed and I was like, wait, there's so many trees. There's more trees than in Germany.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, when I was first telling people I was going to move here, they were like, on purpose. Like,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, they were like apologizing. Like, well, it'll be okay. I'm like, I mean, I don't think I need reassurance.
Are you
but
okay?
Now,
do you need money?
Now I'm worried. Then I got here. It's actually really nice. If you don't go too far south, Arkansas is really nice.
Yes. I mean, every state's going to have a not-so-great spot, but you are right. I took a trip to a cabin in the woods, like a nice little riding retreat, and was going a little further south. And I saw some billboards and stuff. I was like, oh, I forgot about that part of our history.
Yes.
I am sad.
And it's a huge state. Just like, I mean, you guys know this, but like growing up in Europe, everything's a smaller scale. There's super dense population.
Mm-hmm.
And the state that I grew up in is, I have never compared it, but like, okay, I don't want to like, I don't know if this is a fact, but Arkansas is like half the size of Germany or something.
So the only point of reference I know is that France is the size of Texas.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah, which is insane. So you're going to have so many different people in one state.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's always stereotypes. And like my mind is blown when I think about how big the United States are. Just like think about Arkansas and then think about the entire country. It's crazy, which it's also really fascinating. That's why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of fascinating and liking things, let's transition into more things about you. I always...
incredibly smooth, Kyle.
Smooth like the margarine of Saint-Denis, Noah. Anyway, when I was getting creepy and doing all my research on you, scouring Twitter, all that stuff, I came across a quote that made me laugh by you. And you said, if you're somebody who has a problem with small talk, get a bunch of tattoos. Now, along with that, you said that you get it's amazing how often people ask you if your tattoos are real. So how often does this happen? Do people really like
not- I've never heard of this happening.
I don't think it's more that they ask if they're real. It's more, it's funny. People comment on it a lot. And I just started with like a Harry Potter tattoo.
Mm-hmm. It's a good place to start.
Oh, it's amazing.
is it the Deathly Hallows?
No, I just didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it's like the Marauders. But then it's very addicting. So I started going down my arm. And people, it's interesting that people feel like they've, the right to ask if like what the meaning is behind tattoos a lot, which I get, like it's it's on your, it's literally on my forearm, like you see it, it's there, so you should, like you get to ask. But then the reaction when you're like, oh, it's a personal meaning, it's always super awkward when they realize, wait, like you're not gonna tell me the entire meaning behind this. But it's also like the Harry Potter one, for example, is out a lot. And then I get to talk about that when I'm like, hey, this is personal meaning, but by the way, do you like Harry Potter?
Yeah.
And this is like,
we can talk about that one.
Yeah. It's really convenient. Cause I'm pretty, I can be relatively awkward with like small talk, and I feel like Germans don't really do small talk as much as Americans. So I didn't really learn it. Once I became a barista, I got more comfortable, but like, that's a really good place to start if you don't like small talk, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like people only ask what your tattoo means because they want a cool story. I'm like, prepare to be disappointed.
Like, what do you expect?
I get that part for sure.
That is funny of like, you know, like you have your body and it's like, all right, deep TMI and Harry Potter, you know? we can do that one.
It's my fallback tattoo.
So I feel the same way with small talk, though. That's the bane of my existence. But it's kind of a hard thing because I also don't appreciate people who get too deep with me too quickly. Because I view it as like relationship jumping, to where I'm like, no, you don't get to ask me that yet.
Right.
So it's this weird, I'm always just uncomfortable because either what's I'm like, motive? We're talking about dumb stuff, or I don't know you, so toy with you. Anyway. So you mentioned working as a barista, and that is thankfully how I got to be in contact with you, is because you're friends with my friend, Abby Smith. So how long have you been doing that? And how is your, has your art, in the sense of like doing the, and I'm not a coffee person, so I apologize if anything I say is offensive.
No,
I'm
going to
say the swirls.
The latte
the
art.
The shapes. Yeah, the latte art. Like, are you good at that? And how long did it take to maybe, you know, strengthen that skill?
It's really funny because it's latte art. So like when I did my interview there, it was, of course, it helped that I was like German, still had a little bit of an accent, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So like that always helps.
It works in your favor.
Especially at a like hipster place, I guess.
Yeah.
No, it was really good. But I think I told them that I like doing art. And then my boss was like, oh, maybe this will play into your latte art. And in the end, it's not really connected because it's all muscle memory and it's practice.
Yeah.
But I think what I'm so thankful for, the whole like small talk practice and how to deal with people that are buying something from you. Because when I commission work, now I know how to say things, how to phrase things, where before I was like, oh, how do I say this formally, but also kind of warm, like in English to people? Because I would know how to say it in German, but like I didn't have that practice at all. Mm-hmm. So I think like even though it doesn't really have to do with art, I think that's like the biggest thing that helped me. It's really essential.
Yeah.
It's good. It's not really connected. Like latte art isn't really connected to creativity, I don't think.
No, it's like people assume that every artistic person is going to have really good handwriting, or like just these things that aren't really part of
it. I've never heard that before. Yeah, it's not the case for me. Well,
people have always assumed that about me, and it's not true.
Okay.
A lot of artists do have really good handwriting, but that's because they worked on it usually. Yeah, it is funny that if you're good at something like art, people assume that, oh, well, you can do all these other things. You're an artist, right? Or anyway.
Yeah, I have bad handwriting, but I can do hand lettering.
See, yeah, that's a different skill. It's interesting.
See, and I have bad handwriting, and I can't do hand lettering. So we're all unique, beautiful butterflies.
Yeah, but your
here.
Doodles are beautiful.
That's true. And I have great hair, which is unrelated, but I just felt like I needed to affirm myself really quickly.
Hair.
You heard it here.
That's all that this has been about.
Yeah, enough about Kyle's vanity project. Let's get back to you, Becky. So you kind of talked about you feel like you've just been drawing your whole life. And so this may be hard for you to pinpoint, so feel free to toy with my question. But I'm just curious if there was a moment when you actively started thinking of yourself as an artist, maybe just like in a conversation, like when introducing yourself, you're like, oh yeah, I'm an artist. And you're like, oh, I just like that being how you view yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like, I think a lot of people that do art feel this way. We struggle with imposter syndrome a lot.
Yep.
Where you, I don't think I'll really ever see myself as an like artist, because we all grew up with these artists that we're inspired by, mm-hmm. and I wonder when they felt like artists, and if it was different like 100 years ago and stuff like that, because right now I'm just like figuring out what I want to do, or I'm trying to find like a signature style, and then I'm seeing what works on Instagram, what draws people, mm-hmm. and that may not be my signature style, but to them I would probably introduce myself as an artist, because that's what I want to essentially
dress for the job you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would never like I would introduce myself as an artist, but I just to like fake it till I make it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
I think that's kind of the journey for any creative person, is you have to tell yourself mm-hmm. that's what you are, because otherwise you're always going to doubt everything you're doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why I ask. I think I've had that question kind of in my like template for interviews, and I don't think I've really asked it before, but it's because I was curious of like, when do you start feeling this way? Because right. I totally don't. And like the few moments where, you know, whether at like random conferences or whatever, and talk to people, introduce yourself, and like, oh, what do you do? I always have that tension of like, do I say what my job is right now, or do I say like what I do on the side and what I'm passionate about? So the times where I've been like, oh, well, I'm a writer, then they go, oh, like, then they kind of ask questions that steer it towards like that being your full profession. So then it's like, oh, well, I'm not like published yet, or I'm not whatever. Yeah. And then like, they don't like validate it / it's not real. So that's like the weird thing of like the tension of using the term artist is like, do you become an artist when you get paid to do it / like can do it full time? So I totally get the imposter syndrome thing.
Also a thing, I don't know where I got this from. I think I heard it on a podcast somewhere, but, I asked you this question earlier, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, like it triggered in my mind. I was like, ugh, we always ask this question. What do you do? And then it's like, because it's so easy to ease into something about the other person.
Yeah, it's an icebreaker.
Yeah, and it always goes to the job that they work.
Yeah.
But like, for example, I work as a barista. That mm-hmm. doesn't really define what I am working on, like what I want to do eventually. That doesn't really say a whole lot about me.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. Like, what do I say? I always like tell people – never tell people that I do art, really, like when I'm a barista, and then they sometimes stumble over my work and they're like, what? I didn't know this. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it's just what I'm doing on the side, but that's what I want to do.
That's interesting. I might pivot to that, because I've never thought about it that way, but because I always say my
the
job that makes money, that pays the bills.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that would kind of lead to a change of mindset if you're like, well, I'm an artist. I do art and stuff like that.
Yeah, actually, that says more about you than just where you work. It really does,
That's a good point.
Yeah. And I mean, it can be awkward, because it's like, well, then if I open with like, I'm an artist, like I want you to know that, but then...
Yeah, and that's the weird... That's why I wouldn't call myself... Like, that's why you can't call yourself an artist, because it comes off so cocky. And
it does.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel natural to say it.
Yeah.
Or it's like, ugh, another one. Like,
pretentious.
Oh, yeah, like, what do? You, well, like, for you, like, do you just go to Starbucks and, like, type on your MacBook?
Steal Wi-Fi. And,
yeah.
It's
I would like it to be known that I don't go to Starbucks. I go to Onyx.
So, if I answer with the job that pays, then it keeps people from having like preconceived notions of what my art is like or what kind of art I do. So maybe it's kind of a shield where it's like, well, just do this and I can explain this really quickly. For my art, we'd have to sit down and then I'd have to show it to you and you'd have
to make... It's less comfortable.
Yeah. And it's more kind of more involved. So
yeah, depends on what you want out of the person you're talking to.
That's true. Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's why I'm alone, because I'm just... what's weird though is like I find like through text / like visual form it's easier. So like for example, like on Instagram, it's easier for me to put that as like a tag, like Kyle Stuck, you know, like writer and creator. It doesn't feel as pretentious because it's like, this is what I want you to know about me when you look at my profiles. Like, I'm a writer. But somehow
context,
in conversation it feels weird. So yeah, I wonder what's the trick to us like, you know, switching that to where we can find a non-pretentious, authentic way to own who we really are and not waste time.
Oh, okay. I don't think we can.
Well, I appreciate your realism because I've been fed a lot of BS about some of the stuff in my life.
Yeah, I mean, especially on the internet, you can't describe yourself or where you're coming from in hashtags or like in a bio or a tweet. It's just you gotta, I feel like, be a little bit of an asshole on the internet.
Yeah.
And not, of course, be a troll, but just... put yourself out there and stand behind it, especially if you want to get traction.
Yeah,
yeah, you kind of have to have that extra confidence.
Yeah, because if you doubt yourself, it's kind of like you're always selling yourself. If this is what you want to pursue as a profession, then, I mean, like I said earlier, you got to fake it till you make it. And then there's always going to be people that are more – they're more like they would describe themselves in like a full paragraph in their bio and then – people are probably not going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to go to the person that's like, hey, this is me and I'm edgy, you know?
Right. Which is every Instagram profile.
Right. That's my bio.
Yeah, that's what's frustrating. Noah and I were talking about this on, I think, our last or maybe the one before that discussion.
There have been so many.
Yeah, we're so, you know, Noah and I are creators. But like the... like back in the day, like getting patronage, you know, like for your art and being paid and stuff. But then like now it's like you really have to like explain everything you do. And that can be frustrating to artists because like I don't want to tell you all the deep meaning. I don't want to like have to do all this work to just create. It takes the fun out of it. But then it's like the people who are going to thrive are the ones who can like are people, you know, who can get up in someone's face and go like, this is why you want me. I'm awesome. Even if like they kind of suck, just convincing them like, no, this thing I built is actually – objectively good. And someone's like, oh, okay, well, here's my money. Like, whereas the someone who's like the more thoughtful, quiet, who cannot do that. That is a nightmare to them. But they're going to put all this meaning and beauty in their work. It's messy. And it's frustrating. But
then again, once I feel like that's the initial thing you got to do. And this is like just what I've realized throughout my journey, my little journey on the internet. But I feel like you got to do that initially. And then the next step is once you've kind of done that and people are following you, following your story or like what you post or whatever, then you got to show more of yourself. Because that's how people keep, like they keep looking at your stuff. I mean, this is not like the real world. This is on the internet. And that's what a lot of us have to do. It's also convenient, but it's hard. But I feel like the people that I follow on the internet that are artists, they share things about them just like in their little stories on Instagram or tweets on Twitter where they show their dog or they talk about their hair, how they couldn't comb it this morning, like that kind of stuff. And that's intriguing to me because I love their art, but I also want to know more about them because otherwise they're just this concept and not a real person. So you get to be real at some point, but initially I feel like you just got to be super confident.
Yeah.
Well, I love that you said it because while doing my research on you, that was something I really appreciated. A, just for this interview purpose, getting facts about you. I was like, oh, yes, thank
God. Makes it easier.
Because sometimes it's really hard.
There's not a lot.
But that is, it's endearing. It's fun. And I was like, I think it kind of shed light. I'm like, oh, yeah, I like when I start to, you know, learn tidbits about the people I'm interested in. And even as you talked about that, thinking about myself, I'm like, oh, yeah, like I like that's why when I buy the Twin Peaks Blu-ray collection, I want to post a photo of it because I'm like, yes, Kyle is this way. But he also is like nerdy and like a big David Lynch fan. So I want people to know that about me. And so
kinda
I think
makes
that's
you
interesting.
More personable and relatable.
Yeah. So kind of viewing that as a strategy, though.
Yeah,
also,
just make people care about you
in
the end.
Well, we care about you, and that's why we want to talk about your art, Becky. I am the king of transitions. I'm confident.
You're doing it tonight.
You're on it.
Can you just give us, and I recognize that your work is vast in who you are, but can you kind of give us a little, best you can, paragraph of the kind of stuff that you're making right now and you enjoy making and just a little bit of the process behind it?
Yes. So right now I'm doing this thing where it's, I call it semi-realism because it involves a lot of glitter and it's not really realistic. I found that to get like traction on the internet, you have to be pretty streamlined, and that's just a rule because people have to see your feed and then see kind of like it has to be coherent in a way for mm-hmm. them to get what you are as an artist at first glance, and then they may follow you if they like it or not. If it's just chaos, then it doesn't really work out. So right now I'm just working on my realism skills in the end, and I'm gonna eventually combine it with more conceptual stuff, because I think semi-realism or realism is great, but it's in the end mostly skill, and that's just from my perspective, of course. But I feel like I always loved modern art and abstract art and stuff like that, while I still appreciated the traditional artists and their work. But I feel like the everything behind the art is really the creative part. You have to come up with your own stuff, mm-hmm. and the concept is what matters. So right now I'm streamlining my profile with realistic stuff, and this is good for traction because people are in awe. They're like, oh, how did she do this? Like, how does it look like a photo? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. And it's really fun. It's really fun. But yeah, eventually you want to just move on from and still have those elements, but involve something that's more creative.
Yeah. It does seem like these days you need to have a visual brand of some mm-hmm. kind and a style that you can repeat, just have different subjects.
And that's just, I mean, it's kind of frustrating because if you pivot too much, then you may lose traction mm-hmm. and algorithms are complicated and really annoying. Yeah. You really got to grab those people on the internet, and that's really frustrating for artists, mm-hmm. but it's just a reality that we have to face and have to kind of adjust to, I feel like.
Yeah. And I admire that because I'm all over the place. And I'm always like, oh, this will be a really cool thing. I'm just going to do it. And then I post it. I'm like, oh, that didn't do well.
Yeah. Well, I started my profile, like, and that was a big step because I had to put my stuff out there. Like, but I was just kind of putting stuff out and just however I felt like it, and just tried to get back into drawing every day because I was at a point in my life where I just didn't draw anymore. And I realized that's really wrong because I was not satisfied with my situation. Mm-hmm. But I just tried to push, like, just put stuff out, get back into the rhythm, because it really is a rhythm. Like, you can totally fall out of it, to me at least. Mm-hmm. And I was all over the place and with all different styles. And I was like, oh, how do these artists on Instagram or like Twitter do it? Like, they're so streamlined. They mm-hmm. have their own style. Like, how do they not get bored? And I tried to stick with one style or another style, and it would always get boring and it would pass, and I'd try something else. And now, for some reason, I don't even know where it came from, but I found this artist on Instagram. Her name's Hey Mary Jean. And she started like in July last year. Mm. And now is at like 180K followers. And she's extremely talented. She does super realistic stuff. And I was just like, wow, this is a challenge. Like it's realistic. And she puts out brushes for Procreate. That's the app I use. Mm. I was super inspired. And then I just started kind of practicing and practicing and practicing. And you kind of learn pretty fast when you do that every day. It's surprising.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. And it's stuck with me, which is weird. That hasn't happened yet. I'm just waiting for it to pass, really. I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
I hope that as well. And so, and with the, you mentioned like the algorithm and stuff, you posted on Twitter kind of that question of like, it's weird what's getting traction and what's not. Was that posted during that process of you being like, maybe this, maybe that, or back when you started being more consistent?
When you start being consistent, then you get more traction. Because I always knew that, but I just couldn't stick with the style. Mm-hmm. And it's also kind of frustrating because you know you're not doing it right, quote unquote.
Yeah.
because you can't see my hands.
Oh, yeah, I do that all the time. I make weird gestures, and I'm like, this is what I'm doing towards Noah right now.
Yeah.
So, sometimes Kyle will say something, and I'll just nod, and I'll be like, oh, yes.
I got to say, affirm. Yeah, but that's the stressful part, because I was like, I don't have my own style, and it's not going to get me on here anywhere, because of course, like, if you have a following, you're gonna get commissioned more. Mm-hmm. That's in the end what we all want, right?
Right.
But that's, I noticed that when I like transitioned to this style, that it's more consistent. Like your grid on like your Instagram feed or whatever, it looks consistent, and then people subscribe way or follow way quicker. And then of course you gotta, it's like you gotta trick the system. Because there's in the art community, there's like these draw this in your style challenges, mm-hmm. where you get to redraw or reinvent someone else's work, but you also got to look at who they are, how many followers they have, and hopefully like their work. I always do it with artists that I actually like, but I mean, that's you don't good. Have to, but you right. know. And then who else is redrawing it, and in what style? Like, is mine gonna stick out? Like, which artist do I pick so I stick out so they repost my work? So people come to my profile.
That's exhausting.
Yeah.
It really is. But when you kind of figure it out and it works out, it's really rewarding, actually. Mm-hmm. And I did like 2 or 3 of those, and I noticed that this kind of works. Hmm. And
I've been thinking about doing that, but I keep not doing it because I'm like,
this is why I brought her.
It sounds like a whole thing.
Yeah. This is a wake-up call.
It's kind of ridiculous. It's really ridiculous because like you just want to do your art and like be your own like person, mm-hmm. but it's also just a different way of, I feel like, business.
It's like advertising. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you advertise yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like romantic to be like, I won't do that. Oh, right. I don't have to, you know, but it's
but
like,
that's the whole I'm better than that thing, which we don't want.
Right. Yeah. It's true.
So affirming like way to play with it and try to see what works and what sticks and do what you have to do.
It's really trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be better about that because I don't want to, but I need to be stronger. So thank you for showing me my mistakes in my face.
Kyle, I do that all the time for you.
Yeah, but I'm numb to it now. it's so much. With the, what did you call it? Semi-realistic or
semi-realism. I don't think that's an actual term. But
it is now.
I feel like it might be. Well, yeah.
Maybe.
And it's yours.
Okay, it's mine.
You heard it here. Boom.
It's also a hashtag on Instagram. That's where I got it from.
Cool.
So it's maybe not mine.
Do you, I know you've used photographs. I was curious, though, because I know you've done a lot of photography stuff as well. Do you use more other people's photographs as inspiration for your work? Or do you do your own? And then how much effort goes into you like getting the shot right? Or is like, I don't need to fully expose this right because I'm going to draw it later.
That's a really interesting question. I actually don't do that at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to do a lot of portrait photography, and I think it's all connected, composition and contrast and colors and meaning behind the colors, all that stuff is the same. So I think when I started this, I thought I was going to do that eventually, just like do my own photography and then turn it into art, because then it's completely mine. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to, I guess I can still just draw it off of like a photo, but I made it, so it's fine. Right now I just like take references and then change it while I'm drawing.
Yeah.
But I feel like that wouldn't be humanly possible for me right now, because it's a lot of work to like...
It would be twice the work, basically.
Yeah, and right now I'm just literally spending all my hours making coffee or sitting down drawing. Mm-hmm. Like I noticed this recently, like there's not enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
Because I'm not fast enough where I can like put out one drawing in 2 hours every day. Mm-hmm. It's always like 3 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like work as a barista, like on the side. And then commissions, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be cool, but... I don't think I could do that.
No, that makes sense. Yep. It's admirable for anyone who does art outside of what they do to support themselves, because it's tiring, mm-hmm. you know? And especially not in just the doing it, but like getting better. Because it's one thing to like coast of like, okay, like I'll kind of work on stuff, but to actively be like, how do I suck? How can I be better? What steps to be better? Like that stuff that takes even more energy along with life and work and everything.
I don't know how I'm still doing it. Because I've been like, I'm on this streak where I've put out something like every day for like 2 weeks straight.
Dang.
But it's, I'm not, I don't understand how I'm not tired of it yet. And I think it's because, like, I'm slowly getting more feedback and it's really motivating.
Yeah.
That's a huge, it's kind huge
of
help.
A fuel of some kind.
Yeah, it really is. Because you're like, oh, this is maybe tangible. Mm-hmm. And then I've gotten, like, commissioned through that. And, like, during those 2 weeks, I was like, hey, this could be something. And with the whole film editing, like video editing and for television thing, I noticed that I really want to be my own boss at some point. Like it was very bureaucratic and I had worked different internships before that as well. So I was like, well, if I want to work for myself, then I got to really work for it. Right?
I'm so the that's only the biggest employee,
motivator.
So.
Yeah, that's the biggest motivator. And I know that I didn't like what I was doing before and I'm like at this point, I'm sure this is what I want to do. So I think having had these experiences before is just that explains it all to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I'm about to say some kind of feely goobly glop. So you guys tell me if you don't understand what I'm saying, but I'm going to do my best. So you talked about like the getting the feedback and it's like that inkling of like, oh, could this be tangible? And I think that is like the magic sauce that motivates me is like, because I've never had anything big happen to me, like, creatively. You know, there hasn't been, like, a big break. There hasn't even been, like, a close, like, oh, I almost got something, you know. But the moments where things go well for you. Like, I remember making a YouTube video, and it was, like, the first time that I got, like, over 30,000 views. And I, like, woke up and was like, oh, it's happening.
It's like a thrill.
Yeah, and it's that feeling of, like, oh, my gosh, I could become one of those people who gets to do this all the time.
It's a step closer to the thing that you're aspiring for.
Yeah. So you know that feeling I'm talking about? Yeah. Like, can you get, like, okay, cool.
But at the same time, I'm also, I always question it so hard because it's, with the internet, like, some, I don't know, some drawing or some video could get, like 30,000 clicks or more. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is, like, 200. Mm-hmm. It's so, everything goes by so fast. So I'm always like, oh, this went really well.
Yeah.
But this can't be consistent.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. It's always a trap.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it can't get you down because it's the internet. Mm-hmm. I'll always do that.
Yeah, I am skeptical of happiness, so yeah, it's the feeling is fleeting.
But like, I feel good, this isn't right.
Yeah.
I kind of suspicious.
Why is this working?
Yeah.
So this is a little bit of a pivot, but I'm the boss, so you know. You talked about, you know, drawing every day, so this is the transition here, is you've also online described doing art as kind of you described sketching as art self-care. And so that's the connection my mind made, is you talking about like, maybe this is why I feel better, is because I'm doing stuff every day. And then I'm also getting feedback. That's different from just sketching. But I was wondering if you could talk a little bit and kind of like describe that, the art as self-care.
Yes. It's really, I feel like we are all probably perfectionists in a way, very self-critical of what we put out, because it's always, you always put yourself out there. It's like, I made this. I think I'm good enough to be on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of awful. But that's why we always feel like we have to put out something perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And, this is not, like, this thing I just did is not worth going up on my feed. Like, this is not what I want my business to be, like, presented as. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, that can lead you to burnout and you can go crazy doing that and not ever put anything out, I feel like, at some point. And on the other hand, I feel like if you sketch, like, that's like, it never has to be perfect. Sketches are imperfect and they're probably either there to just get you in the groove or they're there to be followed by something that'll be better. Like, this is like the pre-drawn thing, you know,
and it's something that you do just for yourself without the expectation of like feedback on it,
right? So it's imperfect and you're still good. And when I like sketch and I put it up there, I'm like, ugh, well, this is not what I usually put up. But it's also like proving to myself, hey, I don't want to be this person that has these huge expectations with everything I put up, because it's really exhausting.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, if there's other artists out there that look at my feed, they're like, oh yeah, this is how she sketches. This is cool, because it gives insight into what the process looks like.
Yeah.
And I always try to tell myself that.
Yeah, and that's tough, because it's the same thing when you're doing something for someone, you're drawing something for someone, and they want to see it before you're done. You're like, no. Because you're going to see it and be like, oh, this isn't as good as I was expecting. And then you have to explain, well, I'm not finished
yet. Yeah, you always feel like you have to say that. Yeah. It's not the final product. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so it does take a certain amount of courage to put something unfinished out there, knowing that people will see it and make judgments on it and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure it's similar with photos that you take that are unedited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they're probably going to be raw format first of all, mm-hmm. so they're not meant to go up there. But not everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty vulnerable thing. Just be like, this is it, kind of in the nude.
Yeah, but also
why
then
is
when,
she looking at me?
But then when you,
sorry,
that's really funny. Yeah, but then when you I feel like I'm working on this, but like if you do it consistently, then it's not going to be that weird anymore.
Right, exactly.
And then you don't have to have that feeling where you stress yourself out. You have to put out something perfect. And of course, Instagram works that way. When you put out something every day and then you don't put something out for 2 days, mm-hmm. you completely fall underneath everyone else and no one sees your stuff.
Yep.
So it helps to put out unfinished like sketches just to keep a pace up mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, I'm not this way yet. I'm trying to get better to be this way. But I would rather be the person who like makes lots of stuff that is flawed as opposed to the person who's like, I got the great American novel coming. Just you wait. And it's like, okay, cool. I'm going to be over here engaging with other art while mm-hmm. you're just sitting there tinkering, perfecting. Yeah. So yeah,
I think whoever reads like what you put out, they would feel the same way. They would rather have more of what you put out mm-hmm. that reveals more about yourself and like your style and what you're into than having something that they look up to and they're just like, how did they do it? I don't know anything about the process, you know?
Well, and you get people like, you know, George R. R. Martin, stuff like that, who like take 10 years to finish something and people get antsy and you're like, well, I'm going to move on to something else because I don't want to keep waiting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I feel bad for that man. That's a whole other discussion. No, like, leave him alone. Like,
is he going to finish it though?
Yes, that is, he better. There's a threat there, but uh-huh. beyond that, leave him alone. No.
Poor guy.
And I think like going back to, taking up the pressure off, like Noah and I have talked about this, trying to like put forth this image of like, we're the best. We have it all together. We know what we're doing.
Right.
And our stuff's going to always be perfect. I'm like, we're going to never get anything done. Mm-hmm. And then when we do put stuff out, we're going to be exhausted.
And disappointed.
Disappointed. And we're going to not feel authentic.
And you're going to stop doing it after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And no one is that.
Exactly. That's the sad thing.
I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd, but like J.K. Rowling, right? She's an amazing writer. She's so successful and she made it. But knowing these things about her from like just like right now, but also from before she started writing, what influenced her writing, all these imperfections and like bad things that she went through, those are what makes it so intriguing and what makes, her writing what it is. Mm-hmm. And knowing that about her makes it just even better. Like, she's very active on Twitter. I actually don't follow her. I should follow her. which, could be a good or a bad thing, but that's what keeps people around too, because it's her. Mm-hmm. They get a piece of her.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I think it just, for artists, it's like, we got to take that pressure off, because no one else is perfect, but we all think that because mm-hmm. we're people and we're mm-hmm. always worried about ourselves. But just to be like, and there's something to be said for not being sloppy. You're not going to respect someone who's just like putting out a book and there's always grammatical errors or a spelling. Right. You know, it's like, have some class. But and that's the tension, and I never know of knowing when something's been worked on enough and you got to let it go.
Yeah, we've talked about that so many times. How do you know when something's done or for your own like mental health, you need to let it go or
Yeah, when does it come together? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a good point. Like, don't be sloppy, that kind of thing with your own stuff where you promote yourself or like show yourself to potential clients. You can be like yourself and flawed and real, mm-hmm. but then when you work on something for a client, of course it has to be your best work,
right? Mm-hmm.
And you always gotta have that work ethic, and even if it takes a few more hours than you're charging them for, that's just what it's gonna be, because it's your own, like, it's that work ethic, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know,
Yeah.
It can't be sloppy at that point.
Yeah. And that's why I an author I appreciate. I haven't read too much of her stuff. And she also, for me, currently suffers from like hipster syndrome where like she's super popular. So even though I like her, when people talk about her, I'm like, ugh.
Who?
Brené Brown. I was leading up to her.
Okay.
But what I like about her is that she, you know, like professional speaker, author, very intelligent, but like she puts a lot of those moments in her book of like, here was when I was an idiot, or like, here's how my first book went. No one bought it. And you're just like, oh, because again, we kind of idolize like all these people. We build them up to be awesome. So I think it's a nice balance of like, yes, let's do good work. Let's be professional, especially when doing like working with clients or whatever. It's like, yeah, you have a job to do. So don't be like, I'm flawed. Here you go.
Oh, yeah. This is little old me. Yeah. I'm just trying to do my thing.
Aren't I relatable?
Yeah.
I'm so real. I'm a real person. Look at this.
You're so relatable that we're going to act as if we're friends and I'm not going to pay you. So.
Yeah. Please still pay me.
So again, Transition King, speaking of paying, let's talk about commissions. I want to know, because this is something that I have I don't know anything about this world. So you and Noah can probably talk more shop about this, but I want to know, what's the best thing about doing commission work? Like, I imagine it could be really fun, you know, working with people, getting to put their visions out there, help them with either their business or their stories, whatever. But I also want to know what's terrible about it. You don't have to name names or complain, but I'm sure it comes with its challenges.
Definitely. I think, it's really, I think all of us artists that try to work for themselves at some point, I don't do it yet, but we got to bring the change in. So you got to do stuff that you don't necessarily love, and that's fine because you still get paid at the end. I feel like that's always that, like if it's something that's maybe boring at the time and you're just like, oh, I just want to get this over with, that's fine. You got to be able to detach yourself and put out good work just like that. Don't put your heart into everything that you can like work on as a commission. That's really dangerous.
Yeah.
So I think just learning, I'm still learning this, of course. I don't know how long you keep learning doing this, but that's where professionalism comes in.
Yeah.
Even in something as like out there as art, there's still that. So if it's, I don't know, the 500th emote for Twitch, you know, like it's something that's not really interesting all the time, but you still got to do it to bring the change in. So I don't know. I feel like I'm not really tired of that yet because I'm still trying to, like, I still have to get these commissions.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, there's always these commissions that make all of it worth it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having like customers coming into the shop. Some are rude, and then one good customer makes everything perfect, you know? Yeah, I feel like that's just, you can't be up in your head about it too much. It's just, if you're going to try to do this professionally, then you got to take all the jobs in the beginning and then hope that further along the road, you can pick your jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the aspiration, is when you start out, you're like, oh, I can't wait till I get paid for this. And I'm like, I'm going to have my own style. And then everyone's going to want that particular thing that I'm good at.
Yeah.
But that's not how it starts out. Yeah. You just have to be like, oh, can you do a picture of my pet? And which I've had to do multiple times now. And so it's, yeah, you're like, well, I mean, this is what's getting me to work. And then if I do a good job, then I'll have something to show for it. And then these people can talk to someone else. And then my body of work will grow. And it might not be, you know, the best thing I can possibly do. But yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I feel like I still don't know if I'm an optimist or a pessimist. I feel like with that stuff, I'm just like realist, where I'm just like, okay, the fact that I get to draw your pet and get paid to do it, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
Like I could do this as a service of friendship, but if you don't know me as a friend and you're going to pay me for it, that's really cool that I get to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I guess that's optimistic.
Yeah, look at you. No.
Look at me. Glasses full.
I will tell you, the most optimistic in this room. So speaking about, like, you know, not always the stuff being your favorite or whatever, I'm curious if you can, beyond just the working for yourself, kind of describe maybe what your ideal, like what the dream is. Again, obviously making money, doing art full time and doing it for yourself. But you even mentioned earlier, like, wanting to maybe move away from the style that you're currently on and do other things. So we're dreamers here. So paint a picture for us. Tell us, like, we are a genie on this podcast and you get to do whatever you want. What is that?
Oh my goodness. I always tell people that I want to illustrate like children's books at some point because that just sounds amazing to me.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, adult books. That sounds bad.
Adult
books.
Maggie,
sounds
please.
So bad.
Adults need books as well. No.
There's a language barrier that comes mm-hmm. in. No, just like, I mean, illustration is what I aspire to do, but I also, with what I do right now, it doesn't look like I want to do that because mm-hmm. it's not very, like, you look at people that do illustration and it's very conceptual a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I want to do that eventually. I don't know yet. It's kind of out there.
Yeah.
But like transitioning into a more simplistic style after I do the realism stuff, incorporating that somehow, and then having more of something that you can put somewhere as illustration, because you're not going to just have photorealistic people in a children's book. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just put photos in there if you mm-hmm. want that. Yeah, that I think in the distant, that's my pipe dream, I think.
Hmm. I feel like, I mean, this is just my experience, but I feel like most artists in the back of their minds are like, I would love to do a children's book.
Yeah, I think so too. It's very cliche.
Yeah.
But if it's even like, I mean, for example, magazines, like the New York Times has like a magazine for young people, I think. Mm-hmm. It always pops up in my feed. Mm-hmm. And their illustrations are really fun. Like that kind of stuff. It's everywhere and it's not going to go away. Mm-hmm. So just anything that involves just taking a matter and putting it into visual form that involves like the craft of painting, drawing, printing, whatever.
Yeah.
I think part of it too is it's a project that you can kind of visualize because it's not huge. You know, it's like, you can like, oh, this will be a 20-page book.
Yeah.
But there's a big illustration on each page, you know, and just like, I don't know, just in my mind, it just sounds so nice to work on.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, there's people that want to eventually produce graphic novels, and that mm-hmm. doesn't sound appealing to me at all. I don't know why.
Well,
I follow people that I like. I admire them because I follow them, and it looks amazing what they put out. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's something that you don't expect to be in a graphic novel, a certain style. And they post different spreads that they worked on. Mm-hmm. It's so cool, but I could never have the patience to work on little these little squares and fill them
little
in
panels
and yeah. panels and plan them out and format it and all that stuff. Like, that's just as a contrast what you could aspire to be eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle, what are we doing? It's too much.
Let's just quit.
Yeah.
see, it's funny, the children book has never appealed to me, and I think it's just because I don't understand children.
And you can't kill people off in children's
books. Well, I was
about
to say, like, how dark can you get a children's right. book? Because I feel like an editor would be like, Kyle, we got the first draft.
You can't write this.
What the hell? You know this is for children, right? I'm like, yes, but they need to know what the world is like.
Yeah, but on that note, I mean, we were speaking of Game of Thrones earlier. There's this amazing, and one of our regulars brought this in because we talk about Game of Thrones all the time. It's amazing. he brought in this book about like the first men and everything that happened before. And I haven't read the books, but I love the show. Mm-hmm. And just, I would love to read this I guess, spinoff book in a way. And it had the most beautiful illustrations of all these like kings and Valyrians. Mm-hmm. And it was astonishing. And I just kind of like flipped through it. Because it was slow, flipped through it and looked at the illustrations and kind of reading it because it was both really interesting. That would be amazing to do something like that. And it's not for children, of course, mm-hmm. but yeah.
Or a Game of Thrones children's book.
Yeah.
How would you do
We're gonna
that?
We're going to teach you about incest.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Did you say insects?
Let me clarify. Well, and to give children's books a fair shot, I've met a lot of authors who I respect who actually, you know, kind of make mature content for kids, like talking about like heavy things. Mm. Like,
yeah.
I think we like, especially like television nowadays treats kids like idiots, which is why I think I don't like a lot of children that come into contact with, because they're just having garbage in their head. I'm just being honest.
Generalizations.
I'm just
being authentic.
Yes. Umbrella statements and generalizations. But there's been some really cool children's books where it's like, you know, kind of taking on some heavy stuff. And I remember, I don't know if you're, since you're appear to be a fantasy fan, if you're familiar with the Redwall series.
I'm not, actually.
Okay. Well, they were, it was basically anthropomorphic animals in a fantasy world. And I read
a very American thing. I didn't know about it till I came here.
What is the?
The Redwall series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the guy's British, though, I thought.
Well, I don't know. I'd only heard it of it when I came here.
Oh, okay. but, yeah, it's like it was more for kids, but it had some mature stuff in. Like, some people died, like, terrible ways, but it wasn't, like, gruesome.
Oh, yeah.
And so I appreciate that as a younger reader, kind of getting to, like, flirt with some of these more mature subjects while not being scarred. Because, again, I don't want kids to be reading messed up stuff.
But that author's trust is, like, they're putting trust in younger kids to read these things and handle them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super cool, because I read fantasy stuff when I was younger, and some of it I was like, oh, crap, this is, like, really violent right now. and I still remember those moments, but it didn't, like, hurt me or anything. It just kind of – it was fun to still read these things, because the author is trusting you with, like, that. They're not trying to shelter you all the time.
Feel like they respect you. And yeah. Yeah, well, and more and more these days, I'll, like, look at lists of books and stuff like that. And a lot of children's books are, like, about immigration and racial issues and stuff like that. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I wish I had that stuff when I was a kid to kind of open my eyes. But, yeah.
I always think about how did these books shape me as a kid, and how, like, even when I was super young, but they were super, like, heavily illustrated. And I still remember those, and that would just be such a cool thing to do, to have, like, something that you put out and in a way that you find is going to help kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to affect these kids? And they're going to grow up with it.
And it's going to stick with them. And,
yeah, that's just a really cool, maybe a little naive thing to, like, wonder about, but that's, like, also, that's also a motivation, I think. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I don't think any illustrator is just doing children's books. It's going to be several things of different nature.
Yeah. Help me out, guys, because what you just said made me think of this. And I was thinking about the other day, and it shows the impact that content can have on your mind when you're young. But there's the children's book series with, like, two toads or frogs. Do you know what I'm talking about? And they kind of very simple design. And they're
usually, like, a rainbow?
I don't know.
I'm thinking of one, but it may not be the same.
Okay. I don't think there was a rainbow. It's kind of, I think it was very, like, minimal style, kind of like the old, like, Winnie the Pooh illustrations. And they seemed to always, like, be drinking tea or whatever.
Oh, is it the Beatrix Potter from her series?
Let's see.
That sounds so familiar.
Yeah. Well, I'll figure this out later, and we'll do a whole episode on it, but going back to the dream, while you're pursuing this, while you're doing the commissions, I assume, and you mentioned this too, it's easy to get discouraged, you know, on the internet. So in those moments when things are going no bueno, as they say in my homeland, how well do you think you cope with that? Like, how long do you stay kind of bummed? And then, like, are you aware, because maybe you're not, like, I don't really think about how I get out of my glumness. But do you have strategies for kind of combating the discouragement? And because, again, you said you've been doing stuff every day, putting stuff out every day. So I imagine that you haven't necessarily been on this high. You said it felt great, but I'm sure each day is different. So
I don't really know.
I think
it's just, I know that consistency is key in what I'm trying to do. And if I just stop doing it, it's not going to get better. So I just got to keep trying to improve and do things that may help me get more. Like, if there's, like, a low, like you described, I just need to find other ways and be more creative to put myself out there and make myself seen and known. I think it's just a never-ending journey of understanding this, like, weird algorithm that they put on us.
Yeah, that changes constantly.
It changes constantly and depends on, it's really weird. But I think that's just what I would try to do. And a lot of it is random. So I think I would tell myself that. Because like sometimes you put something out and it gets so many clicks and so many likes and it's beautiful. And then the next thing you put out where you think, oh, this is actually better than that what I put out before. And it's everything's super slow. And I just write it off as, it didn't look as good in the thumbnail. It didn't, someone didn't repost it, or like, it's just random because some other person posted something at the same time that looked a lot better. So everyone went there.
You just got bumped up or whatever. Yeah.
I guess there's always these kind of easy explanations that you can give yourself when you're on the internet, especially.
Yeah.
Sometimes, whenever I go through that, I'll either try to go that route or I'll do the opposite where I'm like, you know what, today I'm going to do something for myself.
Yeah, or do that.
And then not like just set the expectation right away that you're not going to care whether or not it's going to be a popular thing, and just be like, you know, this is for me. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while, but I haven't let myself do it because it's not part of my current, you know, branding. Yes. And so
I noticed that today actually. Because right now, like every free minute that I have, I'll probably try to put like work on something. And it's still fun to me, thankfully. But all of a sudden, I was done with a commission. I was like, wait, this didn't take me as long as it could have. Now I have 2 hours to kill. Wait, what do I do? And like, it's weird how quickly we fall into these patterns where we're like, okay, everything has to go towards my goal. And I got it. Like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And then to not get obsessive about it. And I talked to Abby about this actually recently. It was a really good conversation. I noticed that I was almost getting those habits of like almost obsessing over it where it's why?
Yeah.
It's so, you that's take ridiculous. The fun out of it
by doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and that's the problem. If you turn your hobby into your profession, that's the biggest danger you can face, that you quit doing it because it's, like it can turn and like the job cannot feel right. And I was wondering about that too when I started getting into this, because film, like video editing was my hobby and I got into it. And then I was like, wait, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I stopped doing it completely.
Yeah.
So what if this it's like having a best friend and then, oh, should we date? Maybe not, because then we will never hang out again if we break up, right, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. But today I was like, oh, wait, I have 2 hours to kill. I could just watch YouTube videos if I want to. I could like read a book or pet my cat.
Which is always a good option.
Yeah, a lot. But then he tried to fight me.
As a cat.
Did you pet him for too long?
No, I just pet the wrong spot.
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, I experienced the petting too long. I didn't even know there was a thing. It shows I didn't interact with cats for a while. But I was like petting one. I was like, this cat's so affectionate. This is great. My heart grew 2 sizes larger. And then all of a sudden I felt pain and I looked down and I saw blood and I was like, what the heck? Why? Like, I felt so betrayed.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, if you touch me for too long, there is a time where I interpret it as it's fight time.
Yeah.
Like, I want to play now.
Yeah. We just figured out a trick recently with this cat, Morty. We've only had him for like half a year, and I think he's just stopped growing. It's adorable. But he has this weird thing where he loves being underneath blankets. And I still don't know if that's like a cat thing in general, because that's the first cat I've owned. But he'll always try to fight you no matter what. And then once he's under a blanket, he's completely fine. Like, just put him under a blanket and you can pet him as much as you want.
It's a safe spot.
Yeah.
I just picture like a comic series, like with this cat, and he's like a kind of like a superhero.
He just needs a cape.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's like his weakness and he's like fighting and someone, like the villain, throws a cape on him. He's like, no, gosh. I'm subdued by Doctor whatever, you know, some evil name.
That's really good.
Well, I know you don't want to do comics, but let's work on that later. It can be a children's book. We can just do, illustrated pages.
I'll give you an offer.
Okay, fantastic. Noah, I am hungry, and I have gone through my questions, and I am quite satisfied with the tastiness that I've got, so thank you, Becky. But is there anything that I missed? Any stuff that you want to talk about? Because this isn't all about me. This is about you, too. It's a partnership.
No, I think you did really well. There was actually one thing I was curious about, is if you had like resources or things that helped you get better along the way that have really stuck with you?
Yeah. One thing that helped me recently was, which is incredible. It's so this, well, I work on an iPad Pro mm-hmm. with an Apple Pencil and the app Procreate, which is what a lot of people use. And you can make your own brushes just like in Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And this artist that I mentioned earlier, she put out brushes that had skin texture and reflections. And it's like, it's really hands-on tools. Mm-hmm. And like, if you don't know how to use it, it doesn't really work for you, but like, you just got to practice. Or hair, like how to, like just hair brushes.
Yeah.
Not actual hair brushes.
Right.
brushes for hair. That, yeah, I guess that's like a stuff like that, very hands-on, mm-hmm. where you get inspired by a tool where you yeah. want to practice.
It gives you an extra push to like, oh, I want to use yes. this. I want to do stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. And then just looking at other people's stuff and getting inspired. Yeah. And literally just doing something every day.
Yeah.
Nice. Is that it? No.
That's it.
I'm disappointed. Well, Becky, you have listened listened to some of our episodes, so you know the drill. That at the end of an interview episode, there is the "Can I get?" Actually, I don't want it. I was going to say a drum roll, but I was like, I'm wearing headphones, that's going to hurt. It's rapid fire time. Where, and if this is your first time listening, A, welcome, and B, we ask a buttload of questions very quickly to our guest, and they have no pressure and just get to say whatever pops into their mind or say pass.
Oh, cool.
This is your life. You don't have pass to answer if you don't want to. Well, that's not allowed. You have to at least do one.
That's not fun.
Yeah, that's not fun. Worst guest, no.
Yeah. Remember that one person that we had on that passed all the rapid fire questions? It sucked.
So, Becky, I ask you, are you ready for this and are you up for the challenge of the rapid fire?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. All right. Let's do this. In a physical brawl to the death, polar bear versus grizzly bear, who would win?
Polar bear.
I like you. All right. What's the thing that caused you to procrastinate the most?
The thing?
Mm-hmm.
Podcast, YouTube.
All right. Berlin or Munich?
Berlin.
All right. Favorite thing to drink or snack on while making art?
Apple juice with sparkling water.
Oh, okay.
That's yeah. so German.
It really is.
Way to fall into a stereotype.
It's amazing.
Apfelschorle.
Apfelschorle.
Yeah.
Guys, I like hearing this. Can I get one more?
No.
With a rolled R?
Yeah.
Apfelschorle.
She is more fun than you, Noah.
But that's yeah, not actually how I speak German, so I don't know why I did that.
Apfelschorle.
Yeah. It's my hair, right? It convinced you.
Because it's blonde?
No, just because it's gray.
Oh, it's great.
It's a
yes.
motivator.
More affirmation for me. Sia or Logic?
Logic.
All right. Favorite art form to consume?
Music. Music.
All right. Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Breaking Bad.
Yes. That's the correct answer.
You're goddamn right.
That's a really unfair question.
I like to make it hard. I'm sorry. Yeah. Hypothetically, if a podcast host with great hair ate a bucket of ice cream every night in an attempt to cope with their pain, but the pain didn't end up going away, should they just increase the amount of ice cream that they're eating, or should they try another snack?
Try another snack.
Good to know. All right. I this one's hard. Noah helped me with the pronunciation a little bit. I also asked my German coworker for help, but I'm going to butcher it anyway. Let's see. How did I write this?
I think it's...
You say it.
Spätzle.
Oh, there you go.
Spätzle.
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 I'm not going to try it again.
I wrote it out for you.
No, I know, but I'm just insecure and scared. So that or a wiener schnitzel.
Spätzle.
Nice.
The correct answer is Flammkuchen.
Oh, yeah. That is so good.
They called me that in high school.
I'm sure you had Spätzle all around... Oh, I just hit the mic. All around you. All the time, mm-hmm. where you went to school.
Actually, the thing I ate the most when I went to school in Germany was Döner kebab.
Döner!
Yeah.
I miss it so
that
much.
That was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Describe this quickly to me. I know we're in the
Well, it's not even German food, but the best version of this you can find is usually in Germany.
Yeah, okay. A Berlin. Yeah. That's what they say.
Yeah.
It's like a... I mean, they have it in like Syria and,
like
and
Turkish,
stuff, but it is
maybe.
Yeah, it's Turkish.
Yeah.
In Germany, it's mostly Turkish. That's also the biggest minority in Germany.
Okay.
And they say it was invented in Berlin, but that's not really real.
Okay.
But yeah, it's basically just like
a. It's like a hero with like shaved meat.
Yeah. They do it with falafel too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bunch of, it's like very garlicky. It can be very spicy.
Oh, Papa likes his garlic.
Yeah, I don't know what the bread's called in English. But.
I don't know. It's some kind of non bread, like
you put it all into a bread pocket.
Yeah,
oh,
so good.
This is not helping with the hunger. Okay, cool. I got some dining to do. You being a coffee person, what in your opinion is the best way to prepare coffee?
I'd say espresso.
Okay.
Because it's so universal.
Sure.
But it's rapid fire, so I'm not going to say anymore.
And last, you've done so well. Is it weird to own a framed picture of another man's cat?
No.
Fantastic.
Okay, good.
Becky, you rocked my world. You nailed that. Very concise, quick, powerful, and informative.
Yes.
So thank you so much. And thank you so much for being on the show. Noah and I talk about this, but we're like, every time that someone agrees to be on, it's just like fireworks. It's like sweet.
And also, why?
Hey, like, I mean,
if someone were to approach me and be like, can you be on our podcast? I would be like, I don't know.
That's not how it happened, actually. So maybe that's why I came on. No, first of all, thanks for having me. It's been really fun. But Abby approached me about this, and I was like, oh, if Abby says it, then it has to be good. And then
Abby's great.
Yeah, and I looked at your podcast, and I was like, oh, this reminds me of Stuff You Should Know. This is really fun. And your guys' – I was going to say this. I promised myself I was going to say this. I like your cover art a lot.
Yes.
Do you make this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's really good. I like that. But, yeah, it's been really fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and – I didn't get to talk about this too much, but I apologize because the night that we made it official that you were actually you were interested in the show, I was so tired and I had never seen you in person.
Me too, trust me.
Okay. And so I'd only seen what your art looked like and messaged you. And so when I was sitting there eating my avocado toast and you came up, I had no preparation. So you started talking to me about podcast.
I'm so sorry.
Was like, what is she talking about? Am I doing something wrong? Because that's how my mind works. I was like, am I eating my toast wrong?
I should have left you just with your toast, waited until you were walking outside.
Yeah.
No, but I was also just like almost delirious because when you stand up for 7-8 hours straight, that's what happens.
Yeah. But fate was kind to us and made it happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that, that you enjoyed it and that you were able to come out. So if people want to look at your stuff, follow you, all that goodness, where can they find you?
Just go to my Instagram first. That's where I'm consistently putting stuff out. It's Rebecca, RebeccaXObst. Oops. And the same thing goes – that's the same username I use for Twitter as well. That's where I basically do all my connections for getting people to contact me for Twitch stuff. But go to my Instagram first.
Fantastic. And all that will be in the show notes if you're slow-minded like me and you get stressed out and you just like clicking links. Noah, you are fantastic. I'm glad that you got some affirmation because it's true. You're great. Don't let it go to your head, though, okay?
Too late.
You're not that great. But I always appreciate you co-hosting with me.
I like doing it.
Saying fancy words that I can't say. Mm. Little old me. And I'm also happy that I'm affirmed that it's cool to have a picture of your cat.
Yes.
I think it just shows how close you are to that other person's cat and that other person.
Yeah, but mostly to the cat.
Mostly to the cat. It's fine.
Well, it is endearing of Noah, like, giving it to me as a gift. It was like, he knows me. And he's like, he affirms this love, you know. It's like basically like getting someone's hand in marriage, like the father-in-law, you know, being like.
You had my blessing.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Speaking of blessings, boom, Transition King, Humming Fools, you are blessings. Thank you for listening. I love you. As you know, or maybe you don't, we put stuff out every week around noon on Tuesday. So keep looking for yummy content, more interviews, and more topics. Noah.
Yes.
Becky.
Yep.
Good night.
Good night.